when we read today's gospel. And if you do it enough times, we often just kind of fill in the blanks in our own head about what's going on. If you know enough about Bible history and some of the differences, like between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and some of the core values of the Pharisees, we get it. We know why, generally speaking, the Pharisee would invite Jesus to his house. It is true that some of the Pharisees believed in Jesus, but not all of them did. More often, we get the picture about the Pharisees is that they were interested in image, to be impressive. So they made sure that people would see when they were going in through the fast how ashen their skin would be. And when they brought their gifts and their sacrifices and their offerings, they wanted to make sure they would do it at the time of day when people would be watching. They were keepers of the law externally. In that sense, we would call them external Christians. Christian in name only. We don't have a lot of detail about this man, but what his behavior does tells us a lot about the man. He invites Jesus to the house. And yet, a lot of the ways, and these are the normal ways in which you honor someone and show hospitality, they didn't happen. In those days, they didn't have shoes. They wore sandals. And so, often when you invited someone to dine with you in your house, you would offer the foot washing. Because where they dined and how they dined, that aroma from walking and walking and walking and all that might take away from the meal. Can you imagine having your feet near the dinner table? Maybe you don't want to. But in that day, it was appropriate to wash the feet. But even better than that and more simple than that was, and we see it especially like in if you see something in Europe, in France and all, they'll greet each other with a kiss on the cheek. And there's more than one culture that does that. This Pharisee didn't even greet Jesus with a kiss. How hospitable is that? And so Jesus, he's aware of all this. He doesn't complain about it. But the Pharisee is like David, who is sinning but doesn't see his sin. He's blind to it, but he's good at seeing the sin of others. He's good at seeing the sin of a woman. You see, he knows about her sin. That's clear in his head. But he's blind to himself. And the woman, she hears about Jesus, and she works her way into the house, ends up by Jesus' feet as he's reclining at the table, and your top part would be on cushions and near a table, and your legs would be stretched out away from the table, and here Jesus is dining, and the woman comes and she's at his feet, and she uses her tears instead of water to wash his feet. She uses her hair instead of a towel to wipe them. Instead of giving hospitality by a kiss on the cheek, she kisses his feet. She is showing humility. She is showing what's in her heart. And the Pharisee, by his behavior, showed what was in his heart. And the Pharisee gives this great line. He would know, if he was a real prophet, right? He would know who's touching her. I mean, who's touching him, right? But the real truth within this text is Jesus was touching her. For this lady to have sorrow, the law convicts her of this sin. And for this lady to come to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, the gospel changes her from an unrepentant sinner to one who's humbling herself before the Lord. Not looking to make a show of it, but looking to reveal her heart, having been touched by Christ. We aren't told how much she had ever heard, what miracles she ever saw. We are just simply told she came. And there she is, having been touched by Christ. And Jesus then tells the story about how deeply this woman has been touched by Christ by the story of the two debtors. The one owed a man a little and the one owed a man a lot. And they were both cleared of debt, no payment required. And the question is to the Pharisee, who loved the man most? In other words, whose heart was touched by the love and the generosity? And the answer is, obviously, the one who is forgiven much, right? And that tells us who was touched. The Pharisee was social, but he wasn't going to let his heart touch. The Pharisee didn't even do things appropriate, but he made himself honorable instead of honoring Christ, like Christ should be honored because you're in my house. But the woman who's considered untouchable by society was touched by the love of Christ. And she was forgiven so much that she loved so much. She loved the Lord. So what do we learn about this? Well, we could study Pharisees a little more, and that would be relevant for history. We can talk about the difference between works righteousness and faith. That would be significant. That might apply to us. But I think one thing we learn is that there's something different that leads us into action than all the leadership programs that are around. You can have vision. You can have a plan. You can have a direction for your life as a pastor, maybe even on behalf of the congregation. But if the heart is not touched by Jesus Christ, then the actions will not be there. There's many gurus about this is what you need to do, and they outline your steps for leadership and vision and all of that. And I've known pastors who have tried to follow those great successful people, and they fell flat on their face. And they always feel really guilty because they must have done it wrong. Because it worked, you know, at such a church where they worship 10,000. It worked in such and such a church in Korea where they worship 40,000 people a Sunday. It works where, on, you find this list, you know, where it was successful, where they had the mega church and all the like. And the question is, why can't we do it here? And the pastor takes that on, and he feels a ton of weight of guilt. But the truth is that is as helpful as those are. Like the Pharisee, you can have all the structure and all the governance and all the rules. But if your heart isn't touched by Christ, if you don't know and believe how much you have been forgiven, then the actions will always lack the kiss, the anointing of oil, the washing of feet, and genuine hospitality. If you ever struggle with passion, I don't want to go to church. Sometimes I say that. In our humanness, we find ourselves You know, like with the sea, the tide is up and the tide is down. And our passion, it comes and it seems to go. But really, what maintains our heart is where the Holy Spirit continues to bring us the presence of Christ who touches us. He touches us through His Word. It's a living Word. It's not just a printed Word. It's a living Word. It comes with the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of power. He touches us in the water in the Word, our baptism, and He instills in us faith. He touches us in the sacrament of the altar, Holy Communion, where the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now, by the power of God in Christ, we still today are able to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He touches us. We don't have to say, boy, I wish I could have lived and been at that Pharisee's house, you know, because I would be so different. And the answer is, you can be different today. For Christ has made Himself available to touch you. Now, Lutherans are not known as the emotional church, right? I mean, if I asked you to applaud, I know what it would sound like, you know, kind of like this, right? And you know, we have trouble singing sometimes. And we say it's the music. But I find whatever we're passionate about, we find a way to get it done. For all the people that sing off key, they will still sing in their car. For all the people that say, I can't hold a tune, they'll sing in the shower. Whatever we're passionate about, we find a way to do it. It's because our hearts are touched. And I think that is true of when Christ touches us. And He touches you. Visions are great and wonderful. Yeah, it tells you what direction we're going to. But we're not going to go anywhere unless we really recognize how Christ has touched us. Now, that's not a judgment on you. It's hope for you. How many of you have ever felt a lack of enthusiasm? Right? Yeah. How many of you have ever sensed a lack of passion in yourself? Yeah. The solution is not the right program. It's the one Lord. It's His answer. It's in the absolution. Where for Jesus' sake, God has forgiven you your sins. He has told you about His love for you. In fact, He has put His love in your heart. He has taught you how to love, just like moms and dads and grandmas. Somebody taught you how to hug. He has instilled that in you so that you may continue to walk with Him and serve Him and give glory to His name. And so when He tells the woman, go in peace, He tells her why she has peace. And what instills that passion is her sins are forgiven. And what brought that much love? Her sins are forgiven, for she was loved by God. May the love of Christ permeate your heart and your mind. May the love of Christ embrace you and hold you fast. May the love of Christ lift you up and warm you into a passionate walk with Him in the name of Jesus.